And Botswana, I hope I'm saying that right. If I'm not, you can correct me, okay, sister. But she's looking to go there. Right now, the borders are closed because of the COVID-19, but they're actually looking at opening them up, hopefully in the near future. But we met Pamela while we were on deputation, actually back in 2009. And it's so interesting. We were talking about it over supper tonight, that the last time we saw Pamela was at a missions conference in Virginia at Temple Baptist Church, right? We're in a missions conference. She was there, part of that conference. I was still in Bible college. It was our very first missions conference in 2009, correct? Was that 2009? But to have kept in touch with her since then, whether it's through Facebook or whatnot, and just have seen God use her in a great way. She was at an orphanage there. She'll tell you all about that and how God led in her heart. And I just want everyone here, but especially some of you single ladies out here. Miss Pamela has served as a single missionary lady for 15 years. God has used her mightily, and God may have something like that for you for a season, to say, Lord, I want to be used wherever you can send me. But I hope every one of us will have a tender heart tonight to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us about our responsibility. So, Miss Pamela, you come, and we're going to show the video, Brother Mike, after she gives her first part of her testimony. Thank you so much for being here, Pamela. May the Lord bless you.
To be in church again.
Amen.
And just as you were singing, Here Am I, Lord, Send Me, it's wonderful to sing online and to sing at home, but to sing with fellow Christians, there's nothing quite Amen. Like it. So thank you for being here tonight, and I'm so thankful that, Lord willing, the virus is a little bit more under control and we can get back to the way things were a little bit. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be here with you tonight. Pastor asked me to give you a little bit of my testimony, how I was saved, how I was called to the mission field. I had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, and I do not take that lightly. I know that's a privilege and an honor, and I'm so thankful that every time the church doors were open, my family was there. However, I was a thief. When I was 6 years old, I was in the grocery store with my mom and my sister, and there was the candy aisle. How many of you like to look at the candy aisle? That was something that my sister and I would usually linger at, and, you know, just our eyes would get big and our mouth would start watering, and we would always ask, Mom, can we have some candy? And often the answer was, no, you don't need it. And that was the answer this particular day. I remember it was in the end of January, beginning of February. I had my winter coat on. It was a blue winter coat, and it had pockets on the inside. So I thought I was really smart, and I watched my mom and my sister go around the corner to the next aisle, and I just hung behind to look at this great big display of candy. And I remember looking both ways, backwards and forwards, making sure nobody was seeing me, and sure enough, nobody was there. The coast was clear, and I even remember they were Rolos. I have not touched Rolos since that time, but I took that package of Rolos and I put it inside my pocket in my coat, and I thought, this is great. Nobody will know. I'll go home and hide it, and I'll have my treat later on. Well, I wasn't very smart. I have an older sister. She's about 16 months older than I am, and so we did a lot of playing together, and we had in our playroom those desks that are connected, that have the desktop connected to the chair. And I thought, that's a great place to hide these Rolos. So I put them there and I started eating them, but I didn't throw away the papers. I kept them there. And so my sister, as we were playing, she found these candy wrappers and ran to Mom and Dad. Pamela has candy. Where's mine? And they said, no, she doesn't have candy. And she said, yes, she does. Here's the wrappers. And so that is what the Lord used in my life to help me realize that I was a sinner. You know, as a six-year-old, you know, yes, there's the bickering back and forth with your siblings and things like that, and the disobeying of, or the attitudes with Mom and Dad. But, you know, I didn't really understand sin until I had stolen that candy. And it was that night after my dad took me back to the store and I asked forgiveness from the store owner and had to pay for it. The Lord gave me the opportunity to spend some time with my father. And he took his Bible and he opened it up and he went through the scriptures, and I could understand that I was a sinner. And that night, I received the Lord as my Savior. And I have never doubted my salvation, and I'm so thankful for that. So growing up, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew one thing. I never wanted to teach. My grandmother was a teacher. My mom was a teacher. My sister was a teacher. I said, Lord, I'll go to Africa. I'll do something crazy, but I will never lock myself in a classroom of children for 8 hours a day. That's just unthinkable. Well, the Lord, I even remember in high school, my youth leaders would ask me, oh, what are you thinking about for college? Anything but teaching. I'm not going to teach. I'm not going to do it. And as it got closer to the time for me to go to university, the Lord had changed my heart. Mm-hmm. And as I thought about missions, I thought, you know, if I have my own family, I would probably be homeschooling or working in Sunday schools or teaching ladies. So if that's the way that the Lord is going to lead, I need to know how to teach. And I'm so thankful that the Lord changes our hearts, because I can't imagine doing anything different besides teaching and being on the mission field. How I got to the mission field, I really didn't know what missions was about. So I'm thankful to hear that this is a missions-minded church. It's not that the churches I went to weren't missions-minded. It's just something that I guess I didn't grasp the idea of what missions and missionaries were all about. In 1993... our church held an international conference on world evangelism, and it was where many churches came together, and we all met in Raleigh, North Carolina at a convention center. And each room was filled with different preachers and teachers, and then we would meet together in a big conference situation. And it was in those meetings that I really understood about missions. And so the Lord was really pricking my heart about that, and when we went home, because it was the first time we had this conference, people were talking about it. The youth in the youth group were talking about it. And we planned a missions trip to Costa Rica in 1994. So I went on that trip, and I was very excited to see the nationals get the gospel tracts and stop what they were doing and read the gospel tracts. I don't know about you, but here, if I try to give somebody a tract, they, you know, throw it on the ground, put it in the garbage can. Oh, I don't want one. And so to see somebody actually stop and read really touched my heart. And as we kept on passing out these tracts, we learned one phrase in Spanish. This is a gift for you. I don't remember what it is, but as you know, they would stop and they would want to see what this gift was. And the Lord just really put it on my heart. You know, Pamela, you can do this. You can take these gospel tracts. You can take the gospel and you can give it to people. And there are people out in the world today that will stop and that will read and could get saved as a result. So when I came home, I continued to think about missions. And around the age of 16, the Lord just put it on my heart to surrender to full-time service. It was just something that I could not get off my mind and off my heart. And so I remember coming forward with my parents. I'm thankful my parents have supported me from day one about my decision to serve in missions. And we came up to the front of our church and filled out a card for a pastor to let my pastor know that what the decision was that I had made. And I remember him standing up there, and he looked at me and he said, "Will you go if you're single?" Well, no young lady wants to hear that question, but, you know, the Lord, you know, I didn't know what my future held. And so, yes, you know, I said I would go if even if I wasn't married. And I am so thankful for how God guides and how God directs. And I'm thankful that He can bring us to the place of contentment, and He can bring us to the place of peace, even if things are not going the way that we necessarily want them to go. And so in 1996, I went to Pensacola Christian College, studied elementary education and missions. In 1998, I went to Camp Bimmy. It's with BIMI. They have a missions boot camp. So if you're interested in missions, it's a week full of classes where they really tell you the ins and outs of what the mission field is like. I don't know if you have had this thought, but some people think about when you go overseas, it's just fun and games, and it's just a vacation. You know, you're going to Africa, you're going on safaris, you're going to the game parks, or if you're in the Caribbean islands, or there are missionaries in Hawaii, oh, I'll go to the beaches and things like that. Well, missions is hard work, and so what they try to do is cause people to understand what missions is all about so that they stay longer on the field. So when I was there, I met a missionary family who were missionaries in Ivory Coast, which is in West Africa. The next year, PCC had organized a group to go visit them and work with them for a few weeks. So it was when I was in Ivory Coast that the Lord put it on my heart to get more Bible training. School was okay for me. I'm not the best student, but I had to really work hard for the grades that I got. And so I thought, Lord, no, I'm not going to get my master's. That's more studying, more book reading, more writing of papers. And I just don't want to do that. But the Lord just kept on putting in my heart, get more training. And so I ended up teaching at Pensacola Christian Academy for 4 years in second grade. And then I got my master's in the summers in between teaching. So the Lord really was good to give me those opportunities, and I was very content. I was very satisfied with where I was. I was with my sister, who was also teaching at the academy there. I was living with my best friend. I was teaching my favorite level of school. I was teaching second grade Sunday school at the church. Yeah, it was just great. I had my class, and everything was going well. But the Lord just kept on reminding me, you surrendered to the foreign field. And so I knew that if I stayed in Pensacola, I would probably still be there today. So I had to take a step of faith, and I moved back home to Virginia. I ended up taking my mom's third grade job. She was principal and third grade teacher at the same time. So she was now able to concentrate on being principal, and I was the third grade teacher. That way my pastor at home could see me busy in the ministry and get to know me a little bit better before he sent me to the field. Well, in October of that year, I found out about an opportunity to go to Uganda. And it was for a one-year short-term ministry. There was a missionary who was at the orphan school. They had just received some orphans. They were just starting the school. But she was needing to come home and visit her supporting churches. And so my thought was, Africa? I'm single. That's kind of scary. But then I thought, this is 1 year, so if I don't like it or if it's just not for me, there's an ending time, and I know I can come home at the end of 1 year. And so after I prayed about it, the Lord gave me some verses. I'm not going to preach tonight, but if you have your Bible, if you would look at Psalm 37, the Lord used many of the verses in this chapter to really touch my heart as I was praying about the mission field. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Verse 9, wait upon the Lord. And then it continues on verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Verse 26, he is ever merciful. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way. And as I continue to read these verses, they just gave me such a peace. I just need to trust in him. This is a year. I can trust in him for that time. And as I talked to my parents and my pastor, we all felt that this is what the Lord wanted. And so I needed to raise support for my 1 year time to go before I left that summer. I passed out letters and talked to some pastors. And in 3 weeks, the Lord was able to help me raise $10,000 for that year in Uganda. I was able to live off of that for 4 years because my 1 year, I got 14 extra years. They're my blessing years, I call them, because I had only gone for one. But I'm so thankful that when I went, the Lord showed me that that was His perfect will for me at that time. So what did I do? In Uganda, there were orphans. We have right now about 48 orphans who are at our project. We've had many go through, and in the video you'll see some of the things that they are doing now. Some are wanting to be in the ministry and preparing for that, which we praise the Lord for. There's some, I have one girl in Bible college who is learning how to be a counselor so that she can help people in the church and also teach Sunday school. And we have nurses and welders and a chef and all that. So you'll see that in the video. While there, I was able to teach many different levels from kindergarten through eighth grade. Sometimes I would teach the kindergarten class, and then the next class I would have is eighth grade. And they're not very different a lot of times in their actions and behavior. But I was able to teach English and phonics, language, math, and Bible mainly in those classes. Then one of our missionaries moved away. And our director at that time said, we need a new principal. And I thought, I don't want to be a principal. I was like, why don't you be the principal? And so you say, yes, Lord. And He helped me for the last 12 years to not only teach, but also to be principal of the school that we have there for the orphans. And that was a wonderful opportunity to see the children with what their struggles were in class, what they really understood, what they didn't understand. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity. We also had a local church plant, and then we had some sister churches. So I worked in one of our village churches. It was a 40-minute drive on dirt roads. It kind of reminded me of a video game where you have to kind of go all over the place to miss the holes in the road and the animals that are crossing. And there was one time I did catch a chicken, and I took him all the way to the village. But then we were able to give him to one of the elderly ladies at the church for their lunch. It was a wonderful opportunity. I was then approached by a man after Sunday school, and that's always a little bit concerning. You know, what does he want? But he was a director of a private school, and he said, I've been seeing you come for years to work with these children. I have a school. You need to come to my school and teach the Bible at my school. Well, here's an open opportunity to give the gospel. And so for probably about the last five years or so, I've been going to God's Grace Primary School after teaching out in the village. So I would teach at church, then I would go to the school, and I would have about 100 children every Sunday at the school. They were boarding students, so they had to be there. They had nowhere else to go. And that became a very fruitful ministry. So you'll also see pictures of that. On Saturdays, I would do a Bible club in an area in our town. It was predominantly a Muslim area. And I've had people ask me, you know, what was the opposition like? What kind of things would the people do? And in the 7-8 years that I did the Bible club, not once was there anyone that came up and had a problem with us doing Bible club. The comments were, you know, our neighborhood is changing. The children are singing Jesus Loves Me and the B-I-B-L-E and other songs, that, you know, This Little Light of Mine, instead of singing the songs that they learn at the Muslim school. And so I praise the Lord for that. Many got saved. It wasn't as fruitful as the other school, because they did have a lot of the Muslim beliefs at home and things like that. But they've heard the gospel, and the Lord can do wonderful things when we plant the seed. So it would be, you know, only in heaven will we know exactly what the results of that Bible club. So now, I think if we go ahead and show the video, and then I'll explain a little bit more.
My name is Pamela Wheeler, and I have had the privilege of serving the Lord in Soroti, Uganda since July 2005. I have had the opportunity to lead the children's ministry at Serere Independent Baptist Church, a village church plant. I have seen the children grow in their love for God, memorize scripture, sing hymns, and share Christ's love with those around them. A few years ago, I was given the opportunity to teach Bible after church on Sundays at God's Grace Primary School in Surrere. With teaching over 100 children there every week, this was certainly unexpected and became a very fruitful ministry. The children were always excited to learn the stories in God's Word, memorize Scripture so that they could earn their own Bible, and then many put their trust in Christ after learning about His great love for them. A ministry near and dear to my heart is Sorority Orphan Assistance Project. It is here where other BIMI missionaries and I have been able to take care of destitute orphans. What a joy it has been to see the children grow physically, mentally, emotionally, but most importantly, to grow spiritually. We have had many opportunities to learn life lessons together, to play together, and to serve the Lord as a family united in Christ. A highlight in the ministry for me has been to spend time with the teenagers as we've been able to study God's Word and learn how to share our faith with a greater zeal. Also, having a teen girl Bible study where we've been able to deal with the topics important to the girls at this time in their lives has been significant. Thank you for praying for us at Sorority Orphan Assistance Project. An important ministry in Sorority is Independent Baptist School, the Christian school for the orphans. I had the opportunity to teach many different subjects and many different grade levels throughout the years, but I also had the privilege of being the principal for 12 years. It was as principal that I was able to learn the struggles and successes that the students would have in class, as well as encourage them to keep on focusing on their studies. I also had an opportunity to work closely with the national teachers, one-on-one and in group settings, where we were able to study different teaching techniques that would help them be better teachers in the classroom. After primary school, the students go into secondary school. After 4 more years of study, they then can pursue a trade or further education in universities. We have seen many of our young people have success, as some have studied for the ministry. Some are studying to be nurses, doctors, and teachers, as well as local trades such as seamstresses, welders, electricians, mechanics, and even chefs. We praise the Lord for how He is directing each young person as they prepare to serve Him in the future. Ministry opportunities in Sorority abound. Every week, we are able to go out with our church members as well as the orphans for soul winning in the local area. We are able to go to the hospitals and different establishments as well as surrounding villages where we can hold one-day Bible clubs. We are able to do community service, whether it is cleaning the compound, slashing, fetching water, or taking care of other needs. Discipleship can be done at the local schools, as well as with ladies from the church and surrounding area. Saturdays became one of my favorite days of the week, as we were able to go to a predominantly Muslim neighborhood and spread the gospel through songs, Bible memory, and Bible stories, as well as tract distribution. The children each week were eager to learn about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God works in unexpected and unexplainable ways, and He has done just that in my life, as He is leading me to serve Him through missions in Botswana, Africa. I am very excited and thankful for the opportunity I have to work with BIMI missionaries, Mike and Cindy Haley. Pastor Haley is currently pastoring Grace Baptist Church in Gaborone, Botswana, the capital city of the country. Within this ministry, there are many facets of reaching the nationals for Christ through activities in the local church, and most especially through soul winning. 17,000 copies of the New Testament in the Setswana language were just printed by the church and distributed throughout town and in the local schools. The government has been very thankful for this opportunity and is even wanting to make the New Testament a required textbook in all of the schools within the country. Along with the public school ministries, the Lord has also given Grace Baptist Church the ability to hold Village Bible Clubs. As a thriving New Testament church, Grace Baptist Church is ready to go into their own building. We praise the Lord that this school building is becoming available and would be a perfect fit for the ministry. Not only that, it would be a perfect beginning for a Christian school in the capital city. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Maybe the Lord is working on you and your family to serve with us in Botswana, Africa. Corrie Ten Boom once said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Someone somewhere is depending on you to do what God has called you to do. Please pray for me, Pamela Wheeler, as I seek to do what the Lord has called me to do in Botswana, Africa.
I pray that gives you a little bit of an insight in what the last 15 years have been. And when I came home for furlough in December 10th, for some medical tests and things like that, and sometimes when you step away from what you're involved in, you can see the whole picture a little bit better. And as I started to think about the ministry there in Uganda, I thought, you know, with the Lord's help, have trained a teacher, a national teacher, to become the principal of the school. I didn't know how long I would be home on furlough, so we needed somebody to take over that place while I was away. Then I got to thinking some more. You know, I've been teaching and training the teachers for 12 years, and the government even started where you have to do termly observations, so I was having to work with the teachers even closer and be in their classrooms and observe them and give them helps and tips in the classroom. And you know, I thought, well, you know, they're better equipped today than they were 12 years ago as they were in the classrooms just starting out. And some of them have been there the whole 15 years I've been there. Then I started thinking about Bible Club. One of the teachers had surgery, and the whole way that Bible Club started was I had taken a group of orphan girls to visit her in her recovery. When we went to her home, they have a little sitting room. And so the girls and I were in the sitting room with our teacher, and outside were probably about 30 African children that were just, you know, what's that white person doing in there? And so I asked the teacher, I said, "Do you think I could come back next Saturday and teach them a Bible story?" And she said, "Oh, sure, that would be great." Well, that's how our Bible club started. And now she's the one who's teaching the Bible club, the whole reason it started. And then I was thinking about the ministry there in the village in Serere Independent Baptist Church. One of the girls that was in my Sunday school class the very first Sunday I was in the country is now teaching the children in the village. And so I thought, Lord, they're doing the work. You know, what is the job of a missionary? The job of a missionary is to work yourself out of a job. And so as I was looking at the whole picture, and I, you know, being away from it for the furlough, I thought, Lord, that's why I went. I went to teach and to train and to encourage and to share the gospel. And people have been saved. Children have been saved. And now the nationals are stepping up and they're doing the work. So I praise the Lord for that. So then I thought, well, if I go back, what am I going to do? You know, can I go to another place? Sure. Are there still people that need the Lord? Yes. But wouldn't it be great if the nationals were the ones to go to their own people and teach them and train them? So as I started to think more seriously about the next step, I contacted my director at BIMI. And I said, "Do you know of any other ministries that deal with orphans, deal with schools, deal with children in particular?" And so he gave me a list of a couple different missionaries to contact. So some were in South Africa. I had an opportunity in Zambia, then Botswana. And I even thought, well, maybe the Lord is moving me back here to the States. And so I checked in some children's homes in Tampa and New Mexico and other places, and the doors just kept on closing, one right after the other, but the one that has remained open is Botswana. Mike and Cindy Haley have been in Botswana for only 3 years. They are the first BIMI missionaries there, meaning they are by themselves. They have no help. They have opened the country up and gone through all of the government processing to get the right paperwork to start an NGO. And as you saw the picture of the church, they have a thriving ministry. And so much so, they have grown out of the space that they were using in a conference room. So the building that you saw is a school building that is run by a Zambian couple. And the husband was in the position of, you know, we need to sell this building. You know, we're not able to keep it up. Let's go ahead and work on that process. Well, the wife had a little bit more emotional ties. That was her project. That was her baby, is how she described it. You know, that was her love, and she didn't want to give it up yet. So she said, oh, they can rent it, but we're not going to sell this building. Well, praise the Lord for the pandemic. He works in amazing ways. Yes. And in this pandemic, while the school was closed, it means that they weren't getting any finances in from the school. She finally realized, we can't keep this building. We can't keep this school going. We don't have the money to do it. So on a Friday night, I had been in a Zoom meeting with the missionaries there in Botswana, and we had been praying about some of the ministry needs, one of them being, you know, if this was the Lord's will for the church to buy this building. The next day, I got a phone call from Botswana, and I thought something was wrong because it was early in the morning. I thought, why is he calling you? And he said, you would never believe what the Lord has done. After we prayed, he got a call from the lady who owned the building, and she said, we're ready to sell.
Amen.
And so on Sunday, this past week, their lockdown got over on Friday. They were able to meet for church for the first time on Sunday, and they met in the building that you saw in the video. Now, it's not ours yet, but what they're doing is a trial run. The missionary is very wise in not wanting it to be the missionary's church. He wants it to be the national's church, the people's church. And so he wants them to go and see it and look around, and if they have questions, to ask the questions. And then they're going to sit down together with the nationals, with the missionaries, and talk things through and see if this is the best plan for the future. So please pray for that decision-making process. A big praise. African government is very tricky, as you can attest. Getting the paperwork, getting the permits, getting the registrations, running a school and getting that approved is very hard to do. If we buy this building, it's already a school, so we are buying the school registration, which means that hurdle of having to get all of the papers accepted, as far as we know, would not be there because we would already have the registration. So that's just another big answer to prayer that the Lord would have. So as I was thinking about this transition, you know, just trying to get the Lord's confirmation, the Lord gave me Psalm 118, verse 23. A lot of times we look at verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And I know I've seen verse 23, but it never stood out like it has now. It says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Amen.
Leaving my home for 15 years, leaving the nationals, the children that have become family to me, as I read this, I said, Lord, it's not marvelous. How can leaving my family be something that you would want me to do? But then again, he just gives such a peace.
Yes.
And he is the one who guides you, and he's the one who directs you. And he's doing that. And I can look back now and I can say, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Why? Because I know they've been taught. I know that they have learned the scriptures. There are many that have been saved and they're following the Lord. They're wanting to do what's right. They're serving the Lord on their own. And that's marvelous. How can I say that that's a terrible thing? Now, looking to Botswana, I was supposed to go in March, March 20th, for a three-week survey trip. Well, the borders were closed 4 days before I was to leave because of the pandemic. and they're still closed. We were told probably in January the borders would be open, but I just got a message from the missionary this week that said they're now talking about July letting international travel start. And so if the borders open in July, then I'm going to be heading to Botswana to find a house and to be able to map out with the missionaries that are there a ministry plan that we have for the future. So if you would pray for that. I was actually also supposed to fly out today to Uganda. Since I didn't know I was leaving the country, all of my things are still in Uganda. So I need to go back and sell my belongings and say goodbye to the people there, which will be very, very difficult. So I would appreciate your prayers. The borders are still closed. The rumor for Uganda is that they're not opening the borders until there's a vaccine, which could be years and years. But I don't know how that will work. The country needs the tourism to survive. So we'll kind of have to just play it by ear when Uganda is opening up. So I'm very excited about what the Lord has in store. And I would ask that you would pray for me as I'm traveling, trying to raise support, and then also with these two trips, hopefully in the near future. If I could just mention on the back table, I do have prayer cards. And I would encourage you to take a prayer card. And I know sometimes people put them on their refrigerators or have a file or something that they pray through. I cannot tell you how important it is for missionaries to have your prayers. There are many things. There's been times where I've been robbed and I've almost been arrested. And there are times where you feel hopeless and helpless. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. And the only way you can get through is knowing that there's people back home praying for you. So please do that. I also send up updates, and so my email address is on the back. If you would like to receive those updates, you can email me. Also on the back table, if you would like, there's a Ugandan pencil and pen. These are the flag colors. So if you take one and you use it, pray for Uganda and also for Botswana. Then there's also Ugandan candy back there if you would like to have a taste. So thank you so much for allowing me to come. And thank you for your heart for missions. Thank you for serving the Lord and loving the Lord.
Amen. All God's people said. Thank you so much. And I just want to add just a brief challenge along with Miss Pamela's testimony, which was wonderful, challenging. Look in your Bibles with me for a moment to Romans chapter 10. Shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And verse 14 continues to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? How shall they hear without a preacher? That word preacher there carries no gender application. And as far as it's only talking about males, this is talking about males or females. This is not talking about the office of a pastor. This is talking about the responsibility of proclaiming the good news. So every person in here, you can put your name there. How shall they hear without Brinson? Put your name in there. And God will apply whoever those people are, whether it be a family member, neighbor, or maybe it is somebody in Botswana that is going to hear the gospel from you or Miss Pamela or someone in Uganda. And my challenge to you tonight is this. Are we willing to say, yes, Lord? Yes. I'll go where you send me. I'll go so that they might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight, as we get ready to close in prayer, I just want to leave you with that challenge here tonight. How shall they hear
without a preacher. I can't help but think that the Lord is moving tonight on hearts. And I could ask Noel if you would come and play an invitational song. And I would ask you to bow your heads with me at this moment, please. If you're at home there tuning in, would you just pray for a moment here? Just bow your heads and reflect upon the testimony we just heard and the verses of Scripture that I just read. The Lord God has said, for whosoever. That means anybody and everybody that calls upon the Lord shall be saved. That's an awesome promise. But who is going to go and tell them that verse? Who's going to tell them? It does not matter, male, female, younger, older, it does not matter. God will use you. And as the instrument begins to play, I want to ask this question.